Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Today's call is, well, seven reasons to be the man with the picture. Sometime back, I was talking with a friend of ours, and he was recalling a story of being on a rental car bus in Atlanta. And he struck up a conversation with a guy who was running for Congress. During the conversation, our friend related how he had a conversation with this gentleman. And he told the gentleman, the man asked him, well, what do you do? What do you want to be known as? And he said, I want to be known as the man with a picture. See, the man didn't have a clue what he was talking about. But the next day, as a matter of curiosity, after he told the story, I asked a couple of people about the man with the picture, and nobody knew the story. So you and I talked about it, and I felt prompted to write seven reasons to be a man with a picture.
All right. In Mark 14:12, Classic Amplified Bible, says, on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when, as was customary, they killed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, where do you wish to go and prepare the Passover? Where do you wish us to go to prepare the Passover supper for you to eat? This was a significant day in the life of Jesus, obviously. It was the last time that he would share a meal with his disciples before his arrest, persecution, and crucifixion. In Mark 14, again, 13 through 16, Classic Amplified, it says, and he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city, and a man carrying an earthen jar or pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. And whatever house he enters, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover supper with my disciples? And he will himself show you a large upper room furnished with carpets and with dining couches properly spread and ready. There, prepare for us. Then the disciples set out and came to the city and found everything just as he told them, and they prepared the Passover. This is a significant passage of scripture with life-changing, destiny-shaping revelation, and we're going to talk about it. Here's the seven ways to be the man with the picture.
Number one, be a divine connection. At this particular time in history, men did not carry earthen jars or pitchers of water. Women did. The only way men carried water was in a large, well, in large animal skins, usually atop a donkey. Someone asked, why was this man carrying water? Was his wife sick, disabled, or dead? Probably not, because he'd have his children carry the water. Perhaps his world had come crashing down to where he was servant in another man's house. That's a stretch, I think. The man was carrying the pitcher of water so that he could be easily identified in a large city like Jerusalem. Unknowingly, the man had become a divine connection, facilitating the plan of God. He was in the right place at the right time by divine direction. The question for each of us, are we positioned to be a divine connection? Have you ever come into some extra money, come in and have it available to you? Just in time to be a blessing to someone else. You know, honey, I remember 30 plus years ago when you felt led to send money to some single mothers. These women had no idea who the money came from. Several days after mailing the money, you overheard, if I remember correctly, one of the women telling somebody with tears in her eyes how this money came through the mail just in time to buy some medicine her son desperately needed. Every time we bless others at God's direction, we become his kingdom connection.
Hallelujah.
God wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing to others.
True.
2 Corinthians 9:8, 9:8, Classic Amplified. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing, come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances, and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation.
Wow. Number two, be a servant. Greatness is not measured by public perception, but rather a deliberate decision to serve others just as God directs us to do. In Mark 9:35, it says, "And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." Wow. It's important to remember that Jesus spoke the words in verse 35 just after his disciples had been arguing about which one of them would be the greatest in the kingdom after he was gone. The word servant in verse 35 is the Greek word G1249, and it means one who executes the commands of another, a master, or a servant attendant minister, a servant of a king, or a deacon, one who by virtue of the office assigned to him by the church cares for the poor and has charge of and distributes money collected for their use. A study of the other scriptures in which we would find the word G1249 or servant reveals that Jesus is really telling his disciples that if you want to be a leader, a minister to the people, that they would need to be willing to do what the Spirit is saying and obey ahead of their own desires. Matthew 20 verse 26 says, "But it shall not be among you, for whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister." This same Greek word is found 31 times in 29 verses in the King James Version of the Bible. And the terms servant and minister are often interchangeable. Interesting, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And that's what we believe the man with the pitcher of water was doing.
Number three, be a leader. There are defining moments in our lives when we step into a position of leadership, sometimes knowingly, other times unknowingly. The man with the pitcher of water unknowingly led the way for the living water, Jesus, to serve the disciples and ultimately each of us. Whether you see yourself as a leader or not really isn't the issue. God created and endowed you with seeds of greatness. He made you in the image of himself to be a leader in your own family, friends, church, business, life. If another reason to be a leader that God called you to be, there's a profound reason found in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. 1 Timothy 5:17-18 in the Message Bible. It says, "Give a bonus to leaders who do a good job, especially the ones who work hard at preaching and teaching. Scripture tells us don't muzzle a working ox, and a worker deserves his pay." Where are you in your role as a leader? Are you willing to go the extra mile? I heard someone say one time that initiative is doing the right thing without being told to do it. Be ever ready to accept an assignment from God. It may seem meaningless or mundane, but it's not.
He always has a purpose, doesn't he?
He does.
Number four, be a facilitator. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the word facilitator means this: one that helps to bring about an outcome, as learning, productivity, or communication, by providing indirect or unobtrusive assistance, guidance, or supervision. The man with the pitcher was being a facilitator without even knowing the full impact of what he was doing or how he was being used. God wants to use each of us as facilitators. How? Well, do you have a friend undergoing a difficult time because of maybe a diagnosis from the doctor? Or maybe they're going, is going, to use you to maybe speak a word in season you don't even realize it's the word in season for someone? Are you being directed to send a scriptural message that would encourage somebody in their most holy faith? Then you are really being used of God to facilitate a healing of one sort or another to someone who's in need. The same could be said if we, you know, if an adversity is financial or family or otherwise. Perhaps God is just using us as a witness to others to facilitate his plan for their lives and it also be for ours.
You know, honey, I remember my father who went to heaven October last year, 18th. I remember him as a salvation facilitator. He would make it his business to be used by God to help change the outcome, the eternal destination of every person he met. Ephesians 2:10, New Living Translation. For we're God's masterpieces. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things he planned for us long ago. Being used as a facilitator, well, to bring good things that he's planned for us. Think about that.
I know
it. And my mom's a facilitator too.
That's true.
She spends time on the phone or in person, counseling people, encouraging them in the Holy Spirit. And God uses her in a significant way.
That's right.
Every day.
Every day.
And that's what God wants to do with you. He wants to use you every day.
Hallelujah.
Can you say hallelujah is right?
I definitely can.
Now, we're not going to finish this teaching today. And because I don't want to rush it.
Yeah, it's a good one.
But it really is a good one. So let's kind of review briefly when we're talking about the ways to be a man with a picture. Mm-hmm. Number one, be a divine connection. Be a divine connection. And you can be that in ways that you may not even imagine.
You know? Well, often we are, because if we are a leader of somebody, or leader of a group, it's really our job to encourage people.
You know, we were talking
to do everything that God's called them to do.
We were talking yesterday about there was a woman and you walked by her and you felt led to lay hands on her.
Oh, yeah, right.
And on her back. I mean, and she came back later and said, you know, my back has been hurting me for how many years, she said?
I'm like 10.
And she said, you touched me, prayed over me, and my back's healed.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
God is just
That's
good.
A divine connection. Number two, be a servant. And number three, be a leader. Mm. And we were talking number four, be a facilitator.
That's right.
Think on these things. We'll pick it up on tomorrow's call.
All right.
Go to haroldherring.com. If you're blessed by the teaching and the ministry, click the button that says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. Until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails. And keep thinking
rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.